Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, coming to you with a Floydcast number 33 for September 29, 2014. Wanted to give a little update on the Ray Rice scandal we've talked about the last few weeks. Ray Rice plays for the Ravens. The owner of the Ravens came out last week and did a news conference, and there's a lot of debate about who's telling the truth in this thing, to keep it simple. But anyway, this guy, got a chance to see his full name. He is Stephen J. Biscotti. Stephen, 156. The letter J would reduce to a 911. Biscotti, 617. When you add it all up, what do you think you get? How about a 775 total? this team has attracted a large number of problems. And, that owner's vibration is going to play a part in that. All right, this week is the wireless edition. It's the third annual, for some definition of annual. It's been 1 month since I did the last update. And I have got so many stories, I have like 40 stories. All right, so August 25th. Fitness trackers show how many people woke up during the Bay Area quake. So these fitness trackers that people are wearing, they send out information. That information gets compiled by some company. And then they can do with it what they want, apparently. This story is not saying individuals submitted their fitness tracker information and allowed someone to analyze their data. This story is not saying that. In short, fitness trackers are Big Brother, right? It's an official Big Brother thing. And they're getting us to want to wear them. Oh, it tracks your fitness. Well, we've already established they could care less about your fitness. The notion of the government or companies caring about you is truly humorous in a dark comedy sort of way. The next day, August 26th, NHTSA moving forward with vehicle-to-vehicle communication. The technology isn't about helping people survive accidents, an area which automakers continually strive to improve. Except anti-lock brakes are not mandatory. But helping them avoid crashes altogether, cars using vehicle-to-vehicle communication technology can be in constant communication with those nearby, sharing data on vehicle position and speed, proximity, and whether any other obstacles in the nearby area pose a threat. Well, here's the thing. They've already got, in cars, cars can already detect where they are in their lane, where other cars are. They already have things where the car automatically compensates and slows down for other cars. So this story is nothing about that. This story is saying that some official government body is going to allow wireless radiation communication from one car to another, even though none of us are asking for it. That's what this story is about. When you hear one of these things and they tout it, it used to be, it might be like, a certain invention. It might take years before you realize, oh, that's what they're going to use it for. Oh, that was an unintended consequence. Well, nowadays, when something is being pushed on us, when I say nowadays, I mean the last few years. This has all happened very quickly. Nowadays, when you read these stories, you can immediately see the dark underbelly. This vehicle-to-vehicle one, it's more monitoring, right? It's more effective monitoring, etc. Okay, August 27th story. Intel makes the world's smallest 3G modem. Well, 3G is a cell phone protocol. So if they make a real small 3G modem, it's the size of a penny. Well, that 3G modem, and isn't that a nice word in this case, modem, sounds very innocent. If it said 3G death ray, how excited would we be by this story? So this little modem that can be the size of a penny means that wireless can be in even more places than it already is. When it's smaller, it becomes cheaper, it becomes ubiquitous, you don't notice it. It fits in more places. Good luck trying to avoid it. Wireless radiation, man. It is so coming and so fast. I think I made a prediction in one of the last time I talked about wireless radiation. I said something like, it's going to take, I estimated 10 years before you won't be able to avoid it. Well, it's probably 10 months is what I should have said. Also on August 27th, your next polo shirt could have an activity tracker built right in. Wow, isn't that great? Wireless radiation on your shirt. Oh, dear. And you know what they're going to do one day, and it's going to be such an improvement. Instead of having all these different wireless trackers, oh, by the way, they have different protocols. They don't talk to each other. We've got a solution. Put one wireless tracker in your body. It is so coming. Believe it. August 28th, how the world's fastest electric car is pushing wireless charging tech. The team developed a charging system with Qualcomm that gets 20 kilowatts into the car with no contact. If you'll recall from my microwave radiation of wolf in sheep's clothing YouTube, it takes 800 watts to cook a body. The military has found this out. And this thing, this wireless charging thing, is putting out 20,000 watts. So, 25 times more energy than what it takes to cook a body. Now, obviously, since no bodies are getting cooked in this, it's at a different frequency. That's all that's saving us. And that's the informative thing about wireless, is it's so frequency sensitive. I've had people complain that the cosmic microwave background is microwaves and it doesn't hurt us. Well, let's have a look at it. First of all, it's weak. Second of all, we grew up with it. It's been around longer than we have. So humans have always had to deal with that radiation, and they've found a way. Time and again, we see in history that, you know, when you give creatures a chance to survive, to have to survive something, they will. And the third thing is that the cosmic microwave background is at a different frequency, totally different frequency than wireless radiation, Wi-Fi radiation, totally different frequency. By the way, this charger is inefficient, and they all these wireless ones are. So like that little, if you have a toothbrush in your bathroom and it charges, you know, you just slip it onto something and it charges, there's no electrical wires. It's inefficient. There's a loss of energy. In the case of this car charger, it's losing 1/5 of the energy disappears compared to if it was wired. Well, so if it's losing 1/5 of the energy and it's putting out 20,000 watts, why would they push something that's inefficient? Does that make sense? I mean, in racing, time is everything, right? So if you're losing 20%, someone else can do it faster by having a direct connection. Well, it just shows. It's all part of the master plan, as I say in my notes. August 29th, Wi-Fi dead zones mapped with a physics equation. Some guy in his apartment, he found a way using physics to calculate where his Wi-Fi router's dead zones are. This is a story on Ars Technica, and it shows like the wireless radiation, like the waves in his rooms of his apartment. Like all these stories, I'll have the link up and you can have a look at it. But what's so interesting about wireless is the variability. And you'll see it in this diagram that literally you could be sitting here and there and 2 feet apart and get readings that are, you know, many times different. We're playing like a game of chance with humans when it comes to wireless. Next story, Wi-Fi router attack only requires a single pin guess. New research shows that wireless routers are still quite vulnerable to attack. Still, that's not the right word. They will always be. If they don't use a good implementation of Wi-Fi protected setup, bad implementations do a poor job of randomizing the key used to authenticate hardware PIN. So, authentication is what they used to call handshaking. Basically, when you want to try and make something secure, you have a way that, maybe think of it like a secret code word. So one guy says Omaha, and then the other guy goes, oh, that's the keyword. Okay, I can talk to you. It's like that. Well, they use pins. They use, you know, complicated strings of numbers and letters when it comes to hardware devices talking to each other. Well, it turns out the implementation of this, for some reason, is just not quite well done. Well, as time has revealed, these are also known as backdoors. When they're deliberate, they call them a backdoor. But lately, you don't hear as much about backdoors, and you hear more about there's a weakness. There's a, in this case, a bad implementation. I forgot. Bottom line, NSA is pressuring companies to have these backdoors. Then they reach for the spin cycle, right? And it's like, how are we going to spin this? So it's either like, we didn't know, or it's, you know, we spec'd it one way, but they coded it another way for some reason. Well, you know who's behind this. So it's yet another reason to not use wireless routing. Very insecure. Speaking of Wi-Fi router flaws and security flaws, that celebrity nude photograph scandal that hit the media in the last week or two, that was on Apple products, I believe, in the Apple iCloud. And it was another Wi-Fi router problem, bottom line. The September issue of Consumer Reports was sort of like the wireless issue. So they had just all kinds of products. I've highlighted six of them. There is now a Fit Bark for your dog. Fit Bark. So you can stick a Wi-Fi radiation gadget on your dog. I bet your dog is really overjoyed to hear that. Another device is called a narrative clip, and it takes pictures all day long. So this is something that, again, it's monitoring, right? All these products are basically voluntary monitoring products. You're saying, yeah, I will let myself be monitored. Now, in theory, it's not monitoring, i.e. no one gets your data. But isn't it interesting how, someone got our data again. And just how naive are people? I really wonder. I would say they're pretty naive. And of course, the media onslaught, the advertising onslaught is unending. And so much of this will happen just, you know, people would rather be drinking a beer than thinking about it. And until you get your defenses up, these products just seem like any other products. A narrative clip thing here, taking pictures all day long is, you know, they used to make a little cassette recorders, right? And you'd walk around with that, and when you wanted to record something, you'd hit a button, record something, and carry on, you know. And you could argue that's all this is. Well, how do they get those pictures off that clip? They don't plug it in these days. They don't plug it in. It's wireless. All right, the Reebok Check Light is worn under a helmet and alerts coaches when you had a concussion-level impact. So this is now wireless in your helmet. This is, you're at a football game, you have a helmet on, and your helmet has wireless. Oh, man. You know, last week I talked about the new 49er stadium that has 1,200 cell phone towers, cell phone masts, inside the stadium. I would just so like to know the radiation in that stadium. It's got to be off the charts. And very even, by the way, by using 600 of them, the overall radiation is not necessarily bad. The average radiation is bad, not the overall. The worst case is not as bad. By using more, the worst case radiation is not as bad. But the average radiation is bad, because there's so many, and of course. All right, the Nod Gesture Control Ring. Get this. This is what you can do by wearing this ring. Make a phone call, change channels, and more by waving your hand. This is just Twilight Zone stuff. Let's see. Making a phone call, I use a phone. My phone has a cord. Changing the channels. Let's see. I have a remote that doesn't use wireless radiation. I'm going to choose my remote. Next story. Misfit Bloom Necklace to track your workouts. This is a tracker, you wear it on your neck. One of the trends is to have stuff as jewelry. Well, once it's jewelry, you're not thinking about it as tracking, you're not thinking about it as bad for you. It's jewelry, right? It's some hunk of plastic that you wear when you're training. The more they integrate it, the smaller it gets, the less thinking there is about it. And now, dun-dun-dun, drum roll please, Sensoria Fitness Socks. Oh man, this is all you've ever wanted in socks. For a mere $200, these socks, when you wear them, they will track your steps, your speed, your altitude, and even your running technique. Sensoria to the rescue. Doesn't say that. That was me embellishing an already insane story. New story, September 2nd. Sense. This is a product called Sense. Another trend of these product names is to make them very soft and friendly. So this product is called Sense. S-E-N-S-E, like the word. Now, you know, the interesting thing is normally when they come up with products, they have names that you can't reuse. They're not in the dictionary. So like the Fitbit, the word Fitbit is not in the dictionary. They do that on purpose. All these companies do that. The iPad is not in the dictionary. So why is there a Sense product? In other words, there's so much money behind these products. They're not worried about these products surviving in the marketplace. These products don't have to differentiate themselves. Someone has just got a bucket full of money and they're just pouring it at these products and saying, get them out the door. We want these features. We want them small. We want them to not look like equipment, electronics, tracking. Give them a soft, cuddly name, and get everybody wearing them. So what are these? What is Sense? It tells your smartphone. So it's communicating with your smartphone by wireless. If your room is the right temperature for you to sleep. Well, isn't that considerate of them to bombard us with microwave radiation, which makes it harder to sleep, while trying to help us sleep? This is really thoughtful of them. The only problem is the kind of thought they're putting into this is truly ugly, but well hidden by the word sense. How innocent. September 4th story. Intel unveils MICA, My Intelligent Communication Accessory Smart Bracelet. So this is Intel entering the marketplace that we've already seen the Fitbit series. We've seen Apple's got a series of these, Microsoft. You know, all the big boys are getting into this, right? With a few companies introducing smartwatch products at IFA in Berlin, Intel's taking a slightly different approach. Their wearable is far different, focusing on fashion instead of nuts and bolts. Well, when you focus on fashion, then people stop thinking that this thing is killing you, don't they? It's just jewelry. And with jewelry, you just leave it lying around. And what else? When are these things on? There's no switch on these devices. I shouldn't say that. Some of them might have a switch, an on-off switch. But what's going to happen when it's jewelry? It's like your watch. You take your watch off and you put it down. You don't turn off your watch. Now, partly you don't turn off your watch because you're tracking your time. But there's a lot of devices, and especially smaller devices, you won't be thinking about turning them off. If they don't have a big flashing light on them telling you, I'm on, you're going to leave them on. You're going to forget about them. Well, more radiation in each case. So the MICA, Intel is calling a feminine accessory blending seamlessly into everyday life. By the way, if that was a male accessory, there would be a hue and cry, right? There would be a protest. Why is it a male accessory? Where's the female one? Well, of course, nowadays they don't even try to have male accessories. But if it's feminine, no problem. While it handles text messages, push alerts, and other notifications like most other smartwatches, it's also snazzed up on the design front. Details are murky about the operating system, but make no mistake, Intel's entry into the wearables arena is a piece like no other. Price, $1,000. Well, this is jewelry, right? They're going to make it desirable for even the rich people to wear this tracking, this radiation, this hazard, this health hazard. Trendy, attractive, subtle health hazards. There's a YouTube series called Mind Blow. And just some of the notes. I just watched a couple of episodes. So many of the products are wireless. Episode 69 is an orgy of innovations, including numerous wireless products. One that monitors your teeth and sends the result to your dentist. Who in their right mind wants to? By putting this into YouTubes and Mind Blow, and oh, isn't it cool? And by the way, some of these YouTubes, and it might be the Mind Blow series, might be one of them, they throw the stuff at you so fast you literally can't process it. There is no pause from one story to the other. Trust me, I'm spoiling you with pauses. You know, white space, and when you're designing something, white space is important, and pauses are important. There was a famous violinist who said, "The notes, I play like everybody else, but the pauses between the notes, that's where the music lies." Well, anyway, Mind Blow. By that definition, there's no music. But they just pack this stuff in, no chance to react, and it's subtle. It's subliminal. It gets into your consciousness, it gets under your skin, under your radar, and then you just accept these things you've heard about, and there's no shock value left. So now that you've heard about something monitoring your teeth, the next time you hear it, and the time after, you're like, yeah, whatever, it's in my toothbrush. Everyone has a toothbrush like that. Oh, dear. Then we have smart streetlights that are dim unless a person is nearby. It's a good idea in principle. Streetlights, you know, much of the light in the old days would go up into space and it would make it hard for astronomers to look at the stars. So there's been a general trend to cover streetlights with covers, and nowadays with LED streetlights you can focus them much better. As it happens in our neighborhood, they changed the streetlights just a week or two ago. And now, right outside our door, we have an LED streetlight. It probably has wireless. This is such a high noise, high wireless radiation area that it'd be hard to measure that particular streetlight. But if I went to a quieter area, maybe I could measure something. But the point is that these LED streetlights, they really do focus down, and they focus well. And, you know, that's a good improvement. The idea of dimming unless a person is nearby, you know, that's good and bad. Here's the thing. Let's say you live near that streetlight. So when the streetlight is dim, then inside your house or whatever, you have one effect. And then someone comes along and the streetlight lights up. Well, that's your streetlight annoying you, talking to you. I don't want my streetlight talking to me and telling me, hey, there's someone walking by. I don't really want that. So it's one of these products that, do we need it? You know, is it actually a good thing? It's kind of like a motion detector that, you know, we'd put on our driveway of our property, you know, so if someone's coming up the driveway, the motion detector goes off. Or, you have a basketball hoop there and you want to play basketball, well, the motion detector, as soon as it sees you moving, the lights come on, right? In that scenario, it makes sense. Do we want it on our streetlights? And, you know, maybe part of this is cultural for me, that if you grow up without it, then you don't particularly want it. And again, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they'll all be like this, and no one will be talking about it. It won't be an issue. Here's another one I thought was really interesting. A smart dumpster that lets the truck know when they're full, saving X amount of dollars because you don't have to go to the dumpster unless it's at a certain level. Well, there's nothing more dirty than a dumpster, number one. Number two, people are not gentle with dumpsters. They toss stuff in. Stuff is heavy. They don't care about it anymore. Smash, smash. If you look at dumpsters, they're full of dents, and we're talking metal that's dented. You're going to put some little, delicate little gadget in there, and it's not going to get dented? You're dreaming, first of all. Second of all, how do these dumpsters communicate with the smart dump trucks? They do it by wireless. Isn't that fantastic? I'm going to need some new adjectives to celebrate my rapture with wireless, these wireless products. They're all saving the day, aren't they? I guess our day needs to be saved, what, 5-10 times a day? So in mind blow number 39, a different one, it features a pizza button you put on your fridge. You know, like in the commercials. Got a dog dreaming behind me. So you've probably seen the Staples commercial where they have the easy button, right? It's just symbolic, but it was clever marketing because you can give away easy buttons that don't cost a lot to make them, probably. And now people have them on their desk, you know, at work or whatever, and you're advertising your product. It's clever. Well, this is a button that will, using wireless and your smartphone, you press one button on your fridge and you get a pizza. And free radiation, complimentary radiation from your pizza company. You just think about how ubiquitous these things are. Well, here's the thing. So you get the pizza button, you put it on your fridge. You have kids, right? The kids come along, they push the button. I want a pizza. It's simple. To a 4-year-old, I get it. I push the button, I get a pizza. Bing bong. Pizza company here. Here's your pizza. I didn't. Wait a minute. Did you? You can't talk to a 4-year-old and they're not going to answer you. So it's like, okay. So maybe you moved the button up higher. Well, then your 8-year-old figures, hey, if I slide a chair up to the fridge, I can reach that button when it's up higher. Then the guy goes, what happens if I push it twice? Of course, kids don't push things twice. They push them 50 times. Well, then the software has to kick in and go, okay, if they push it 50 times, we're going to assume it's not a legitimate order. Well, then the pizza company calls you to confirm. Did you order? No, I didn't. Stop pushing that button. And here's the real question. Those 50 times when that kid pushes that button, isn't there wireless communication every single time? With the remotes. The new remotes are microwave radiation remotes for smart TVs. With infrared remotes, there's no wireless radiation. They're relatively harmless. With a microwave radiation remote, and, you know, people channel surf. Channel surfing involves hitting that remote frequently. Every time you're hitting the buttons on that remote, any button, you are dosing yourself. They're moving it in big time. It's really something. It probably seems like, and it does to me, on the one hand, seem like I'm repeating. You know, some of these stories repeat, like here I am talking about smart TVs again. Well, these things aren't going away. There's going to be more of them, more features, more radiation, more problems, and more consequences as we think about the repercussions of these devices. They're 10 and 100 and 1,000 times worse than we think they are because they are infiltrating us. Just think about the level of infiltration. We've talked about toothbrushes, sleep aids, clothing, socks, and buttons on your fridge that kids can push 50 times a day. All wireless radiation. Stop the world. I want to get off. Well, they've got an off plan here. They've got a eugenics plan in mind. This is how they are going to reduce our population of this world. They never intended to try and reduce it by, oh, please don't have more kids. They know that doesn't work. This is how they're going to do it. And it's going to work really well. These cancers take a certain number of years to develop, depending on the cancer. That's why the push is so intense right now. What they want, you know, the ideal killing protocol for these guys is to get all of us dosed up, high dose, enough to harm us, which doesn't take much, by the way, and then keep us at that level for, let's say, 10 years. And then at the 10-year mark, huge percentage of the population is getting cancers, then they start researching. Start, that is. Oh, we thought it was harmless all along. And they start researching, and that takes 5 years, 10 years. So now 20 years of dosing, everyone's got these cancers. Mission accomplished. Oh yeah, turns out wireless radiation was harmful. We got rid of that. Yeah, and you got rid of 90% of the population. Mark my words. All right, news story, September 6th. DARPA, this is the Defense, Department of Defense thing, develops implants that treat diseases and depression without medication. The program called Electrix, E-L-E-C-T-R-X, with the RX being like the pharmacy RX, ultimately aims to replace medication with closed-loop neural implants, which constantly assess the state of your health and then provide the necessary nerve stimulation to keep your various organs and biological systems functioning properly. I recommend that you listen to that phrase once a day for the next week. This link will be on my website. And have this page up and read that paragraph once a day for a week and just think about it. It's an implant, neural, in your brain. It's wireless radiation in your brain. Just like I was talking about just a few minutes ago. They're already recommending this. Here's the point. It's going to be part of treatment. These things aren't done voluntarily, so there's all sorts of little scams. First of all, it's good for you. Oh, well, then I want it. Second of all, well, we're only doing it for inmates. We're only doing it for violent offenders. We're only doing it to track sexual predators. It's always think of the children stuff, right? That gets it in the door. And then, yeah, you know, I decided I'd try this for myself in some testimonial. A lying testimonial, which ignores any kind of research or balanced, fair and balanced commentary. This thing was wonderful. My nerve stimulation, my biological systems are functioning properly now. And the notion that you need an electronic implant to keep your various organs and biological systems functioning properly. If you buy into that, you are doomed. You are completely doomed. That is so insane. Arrogant man thinking he is better than his body. Thinking he can control his body better than the body itself can. You know, it's been proven an infinite number of times that when you leave your body alone, it does just fine, thank you. One of the things that interested me when I was a kid was, you see, you know, drinking people. I used to ride into downtown Vancouver with my dad, and we'd ride on, you know, side streets, partly because we had bicycles, right? And, you know, main streets are really dangerous. And so we'd ride on these alleys, these side streets. And so you see street people, you see, you know, people that have drank too much and live on the street. But what always amazed me was, how was it that they were alive? These people, in many cases, right, the alcohol is the priority. It has to be because they're physically addicted to it. They don't have a choice anymore. So, you know, the first money that they scrounge up goes to the alcohol. If they're lucky, they scrounge some food somewhere. Well, here's the point. They're not taking a multivitamin. They're not eating 3 square meals a day. They're not eating a nice green salad. How do they survive? Well, the answer is, your body is amazing. Your body's survival ability is amazing. Now, these people are aging and they're going to die of their disease. I'm not saying they live to be 99. But still, your body's resilience is very high. And if you start to do things for your body that are good, taking the multivitamin, eating the healthy salad, drinking lots of water, not eating meat, getting your exercise, balancing, your body, the last thing it needs is electronic implants. Wow. September 8 story, Comcast using JavaScript injection to serve ads on public Wi-Fi hotspots. Well, well. Comcast and their little hotspots is in the news again. Well, the last time I gave you an update, there was 1 million households were allowing Comcast routers to share their Wi-Fi. They were allowing themselves to become like a cell phone tower inside their house, broadcasting Wi-Fi onto the street so that people walking by who are Comcast subscribers can get Wi-Fi access. From a marketing point of view, this is clever. Even from a potentially convenient, point of view, this is clever. You can be driving around in theory and pull over and someone has Wi-Fi there, Comcast Wi-Fi, and you log in and bang. And from what I've heard is once you logged into the system once, I guess it's done the authentication part at that point, and so it knows you are a Comcast subscriber, and so you can now go anywhere in the city kind of thing, and you've got this Comcast Wi-Fi that you're accessing. So that's clever, and that has actually, there's potentially something good there. Of course, the bad thing is, it's all Wi-Fi radiation. You're encouraging people to use more. Their phones, as they rove, as they drive around, their phones are logging into these different routers automatically. There's communication, there's traffic back and forth constantly as you go from router to router. It has to be. That's just how these systems work. They call it self-discovery, etc. And then, of course, in people's houses, that old person who, the nice Comcast man sent me a new router and it does Wi-Fi and it's better than the old one, it's faster. Well, every time someone parks their car out front and uses their cell phone, dear Mrs. Smith gets dosed by Wi-Fi radiation from her router. That's horrific. Well, anyway, in the last time I updated you, there was 1 million people doing this, 1 million households. There's now 3.5 million. I have a feeling when this is all said and done, there'll be 30 or 40 million households doing this, and they'll stop telling us the number. But this story is about Comcast changing the pages that you go to. Pages that you go to on the web almost always have advertising. That's what pays for that page in most cases. Comcast is taking away the ad that would normally be shown to you and putting a Comcast ad in its place. Well, first of all, by them changing the web like that, they're taking money away from these websites. In other words, it's lecherous. It's like the behavior of a leech. Also, potentially, you might want to see those ads. In my case, on my website with my Super Baby Names pages, I have several thousand of those pages of names. I mean, total of 1.5 million names. So you figured out how many names per page can you fit. Just to display 1.5 million names once, you need a lot of web pages. You need like 1,000 right there. And then, there are different ways to look at the same names. I've categorized them in different ways. And so there are several thousand web pages. Well, on those pages, I have a few ads. I use the word ads loosely. I'm really just, promoting my own articles and videos and whatnot within the Super Baby Names pages. I would be mighty ticked if Comcast started replacing out my ads with Comcast ads. That would be highly unethical and unacceptable in my mind. Because here's the thing, the way people promote stuff varies. With many people, they have a blizzard of links. I remember ICQ, I don't know if anyone listening remembers ICQ, but it was an internet chat program. And it was one of the first, if not the first. And chat was a big deal when it came up. Well, ICQ became enormous. And what I remember was once I went to the ICQ main page, and I remember seeing something in the range of like 600 links on that page. I mean, to give you an idea, the early web pages might have, 5 or 10. And I would say on my web pages, normally, we're talking about navigational links. A menu with submenu choices. I would say on my pages, my navigational links might be just a handful, maybe 5. I deliberately keep them to a minimum, and I make them the best, most probable links you might want. And like for all my stories, I put all my stories on one page. If you want to see what I've written or my stories, you go to that page. Of course, nowadays, Huffington Post comes to mind. Some of these web pages, go to the HuffingtonPost.com and just load any page there. With my browser with Opera, it shows you how many elements it's loading. It shows a number. It's really handy. When I go to Huffington Post, it'll load 200, 300, 400 elements. What is all that garbage? These are media-rich pages, they would call them, but they're content-heavy pages where they're trying to push 100 different things at you with the hope that you'll click on one of them. Well, anyway, the point is that, okay, the 600 links, that's excessive. Huffington Post, that's excessive. So on my pages, I've gone out of my way to have the minimum number of links. The minimum amount of promotion that's like the ideal minimum. If I don't promote anything, then you're messing up. I think I have some really great stuff on my website, and you should at least be aware of it, especially when it's in context. If you're reading a story on health, then you should know about other health stories type thing. With most sites, they'll have huge redundancy. They'll have a menu at the top, a menu at the bottom, and you click on this, and you know, there's just so many different. They'll have at least three different sources of links, and within that, they'll have dozens of possible things to click. And this is on. There's a little local gardening company, and you go to their website, and there's 50 or 100 links on the page. Easy. So I've gone out of my way to minimize that, so that you get the content, not the promotion, not the marketing. Well, hypothetically, if Comcast started taking those away from me, well, then it would break my site. Then people couldn't see the links that I'm putting up there to help them go to other content. Apparently, Comcast could care less. So there were some comments on this. People on Slashdot, here's one comment. After calling Comcast several times, asking them to please shut off the public Wi-Fi signal on my cable modem, I finally just put the whole thing into a Faraday cage. Problem solved. So someone had to completely shield their router because, predictably, Comcast isn't facilitating them turning off that Wi-Fi radiation. Now, in many people's cases, they're concerned about the public Wi-Fi, and they still leave the private Wi-Fi bombarding their household. I don't do that. Wi-Fi is off on my routers. Another Slashdot comment. I've called Comcast to opt out four times. All four times they told me, no problem, sir. I finally went out and bought my own router. Well, you may recall, I got the letter, the offer, the free router. You don't even have to take in the old one. They sent it to me. It was like, what do I have to lose? And then sure enough, they started dinging me on my bill, trying to charge me for the old equipment. So they lied. So I took it back, gave them a lecture on Wi-Fi, came home, and literally there was a robot call from Comcast polling me how was my experience at their Comcast center. Well, anyway, I narrowly avoided a real nightmare there. We kept our old router. They'll find a way. They'll find a way down the road. Here's one way your router breaks. Something happens, it breaks. You go in. Sorry, sir, we only have the new ones. Oh, but you can turn it off. And of course, as people are finding out, the turning off doesn't work. So that's one way you're going to get that radiation whether you want it or not. Another way is in houses, sometimes you want to extend service. So you need a little repeater box to extend service. Well, they'll start putting it into those repeater boxes. Currently, it's not. It's in the main router that goes to your from the street to your house, you might say. Good old Comcast leading the way, dosing us all. There should be like a giant meter somewhere which shows like a threat level. You know, like there was that doomsday clock? Someone needs like a wireless radiation dose clock. But here's the problem. The doomsday clock worked because in theory it was applicable to all of us. Once that nuclear Armageddon starts, we all get it. We all get dosed, right? Mutually assured destruction. Well, wireless radiation is the opposite. In other words, each of these things are incremental problems. The Comcast Wi-Fi thing is an incremental problem. It marginally makes things worse. The smart meter on the side of your house marginally makes things worse. And it's all up to the individual who gets impacted. And it's a lottery, and they don't care. They don't care who loses the lottery and who wins. The only way you're going to survive this, and I guarantee you, the only way, is to get a microwave radiation measuring meter. I use an acoustimeter, the A10, the one with the digital readout, the two different LED scales. It has a phenomenal number of things on it. Every one of the things on it I use. There's nothing wasted. And this is a meter for life. This is an age where you need a meter. No question about it. Next story, September 9th. The Apple Watch is Steve Jobs' iPod launch all over again. This is an interesting quote from a Wired.com story. I'm going to read this paragraph. Apple took the time not just to build a better technology, but to interrogate the entire concept of wearable. And what the company came away with was the personal. Apple Watch is the most personal device Apple has ever created. The watch is technology that literally touches you, and that because it can always be seen, says something about you in a way that a phone that's mostly in your pocket does not. Hence, features ranging from taptic touch, it's like giving you like a vibration feedback, touch notification against your skin, so you're wearing something and now it can vibrate, or when you push a key it can vibrate, giving you feedback. against your skin to the range of customizable faces, bands, and materials. More than any other hardware it has made, Apple wants you to feel like the Apple Watch is yours. My first Sony came up with that concept, introducing products to the youngest age people. This is going to be my first radiation. You know, people should have, instead of photo albums, people should have radiation albums. This is when I got my Apple Watch. This is when we got Comcast Wi-Fi. This is when I got my smart socks and my Wi-Fi toothbrush. September 2014 story, man builds a tweeting toilet. This is a guy that, when he uses a toilet, this thing gives a Twitter update. I can't get into too much detail on this kind of thing, but you get the idea, right? You know, whether it's a gimmick, whether it's humor, whether it's supposedly good for you, whether it's no choice, it's going to be everywhere. I guarantee that toilet is not connected with a wire to a router. It's doing a wireless radiation update. When he gets up in the middle of the night, well, wireless radiation wakes you up. It's not good for your body, and it wakes you up. It makes it hard to sleep. Every time I use the toilet, I have a hard time falling asleep afterwards for some reason. Next story, using smartphones to track our everyday moral judgments. Quote, our lives are surprisingly packed with morally loaded experiences. We see others behaving badly or well, and we behave well or badly ourselves. In a new study, researchers used a smartphone app to track moral and immoral acts committed or witnessed by more than 1,200 people as they went about their days. So, bottom line of the story, we found a way to get people to use their smartphone even more and to generate even more wireless radiation, while they, in a George Orwellian way, monitor other people's behavior. Each one of these stories has multiple level of creepiness in it. Next story, radio on a chip and the Internet of Things. This radio is a fundamental building block in developing a workable Internet of Things. Well, this is similar to that Intel story of a very small Wi-Fi transmitter, so it can fit on a very small thing, in this case just on a chip. Internet of Things is going to be everywhere. Every product you buy, you know how they all have barcodes. They're all going to have chips, radiation. They're all going to be transmitters. You know, your keys, right? Your car keys. Surely you need a wireless radiation transmitter in your car keys, right? So that you can use a little app on your phone to tell you where your keys are. If they haven't got it, they're getting it. I did some research on, I forget what I was researching now, but I think I wanted to learn more about the subject and came up with some pretty horrific stories. These are in reverse chronological order, so most recent first. Top biochemist calls to abolish smart meters, Wi-Fi in schools, and baby monitors. From the comments section. For some reason, foil can make the situation worse. We put it onto the neighbor's smart meter, and that was the result. Then we tried an aluminum mesh. This is someone's comment, so it's not written very well. Then we tried an aluminum mesh cage, which was grounded. This helped, but did not stop the meter from transmitting through our home 3 times a night for over half an hour each time. The smart meter is broadcasting for half an hour at a time. Next, we found, and they say, you know, it's low bandwidth. Yeah, it's low bandwidth, but it has to be high energy, because it's trying to transmit to an office many miles away. Next, we found a lead tile, which is now placed over the meter, and we placed a huge panel covered with 4 layers of heavy ply aluminum foil over our window on the side of the meter. We have the whole side of the house meshed and grounded, and the fence is foiled with aluminum. The radiation is still getting through, but is substantially better. That's just one person's little tale of woe with a smart meter. The story talks about Wi-Fi in schools. One of the insidious things with Wi-Fi cell phone towers, you know, is they want them where people are going to use their phones. So if you notice on very busy roadways, you will see not just one, but you'll see like 2 cell towers like a block apart. And you might think, why are they doing that? Well, it's kind of smart in a way. These things kill people. The radiation kills people and gives them cancer. So if you spread those towers out, then everyone's getting dosed. If you put those towers together, then you might say the poison is just in one area. It's like poisoning part of the water supply instead of the whole water supply. So it actually makes sense. For them. Coffee shops is another one. Shopping areas, yuppie shopping areas. I know one. They got a massive cell tower right in the middle of the whole thing. By the way, cell towers are, you know, you sort of have to really look and they're getting sneaky. There was one out in the suburbs where I live here and they had an unusually low tower. The tower holding all the gear was low, and then they had painted the whole thing like a camouflage color. Every single thing on it was painted the same color, rather than, you know, sometimes the little repeater masks are like white and other parts are gray, and they just stand out unless you go out of your way to camouflage them. Another way they camouflage them is they put them on high power lines. You know, your electrical system is fed by high power and then it steps down. Well, sometimes on these highest voltage power lines, if you look, you'll see little cell phone masks there. And boy, it's hard to see them because it's all just metal, right? So you have what, those little masks, they look like they're metallic. They're probably, you know, the cover could be plastic, I imagine, but there is a lot of metal in them. Anyway, metal on metal, good luck noticing it. That's why you need the meter. Absolutely. Where you work, you got to meter it. You got to know what are the sources. Take steps. You have to do this. Well, then that leads to source another, you know, source of people using phones, schools. Now recess is, you know, recess used to be exercise. Now recess is go out and dig out your phone and start plinking around in your phone. And certainly if the kids aren't doing it, the teachers are. And the parents, like after school, oh man, we all look like statues now. We're like perfectly distributed now that no one is clumped together. Because everyone is like, I don't want to talk to other people, I just want to be on my phone. So, they want to service that. People say, hey, I don't have a good signal here. The cell company goes, we can help you with that. And they put a Wi-Fi tower right across from the school. And of course, there's money involved in that, right? Somebody gets compensated for that. So then, that means it'll never go away. And then, there was one story, I think I read it into the Floydcast sometime back, but kids were dropping dead. Two kids dropped dead from a heart attack, and the third one was resuscitated because they put heart resuscitation equipment into the schools. Instead of getting rid of the Wi-Fi, they, well, we'll just resuscitate them. Who knows why they had a heart attack that they never had before? It can't be the wireless. Next story, July this year. Wi-Fi to kill millions, whistleblower says. And just some excerpts, huge articles, you know. Of the microwave-exposed women, 47.7% had miscarriages prior to the seventh week of pregnancy. I don't know. If I was wanting to have a child, I would think a miscarriage is... You don't want that, right? Is that right? You don't want that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Another part of the article. Today I conducted one of the most disturbing radio interviews of my life as host of The Real Deal with a British physicist and electronic warfare expert, Barry Trower. T-R-O-W-E-R. Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. Mr. Trower, who's anti-cell phones, anti-wireless, has a very good name. Very similar in combination to my own. Not quite as balanced, but mathematically very, very good. So I'm sure the quality of his research and work is top-notch, actually. He served in the military, a great deal of expertise. He was appalled to discover that microwave radiation is ubiquitous and extremely hazardous, especially to pregnant women and children. The risks are so great that the use of Wi-Fi, which is enormously popular, can lead to permanent genetic damage to your children and your children's children. In the early 60s, I trained with the government. Microwave warfare looked at all aspects because I figured when I finished with the military, I figured I had a lot of expertise. So I was asked to carry on the research. He says, we are in a new Cold War. And this is why countries are developing this. And this is why all the microwave transmitters are going up everywhere, because somebody, if they wanted to, could use them for other effects. The system is up and running. Well, I have no doubt whatsoever. This is absolutely happening. Somebody causes problems, you just set up a transmitter and you aim it right at their house. Easy to do. Nobody will know that's done. I mean, not one person in a million will know that a transmitter is aimed at them. It can't be perfectly aimed. It's not like a bullet. It's like a, you know those oscillating sprinklers? It's like that. It sends out a circle, a sphere, a teardrop is probably the best word. It sends out a teardrop of radiation. And if you're within the drop, you get the highest. And in the center of the drop, you get the most. But you can just tweak that and move that. And so if you're trying to target one person, you would end up targeting, you know, the house on either side and the house behind them too, kind of thing, depending on elevation and all that stuff. But the point is, you could absolutely target a person, no question about it. Which in itself makes this whole cell phone tower thing completely irresponsible. Years ago, our government said to our scientists, when it comes to microwaves, you will only talk about things to do with heat, and that is it. So they won't even discuss anything else. They will deny anything that doesn't have anything to do with heat. What he's saying is that the only test that they've done with microwave radiation is, does it heat you up? How much does it heat you up? And they come up with a silly standard, which turns out to be 10 million times too easy too high a standard or too low a standard, whichever way you want to think of it. The standard should be 10 million times more stringent. They even deny all their 40 years of research leading up to this, although they've said that this can cause cancer and all the damage. They say, no, it can't. We're only looking at heat, and heat is all that matters. So for the last 40 years, the English government has been lying to the people, and the American, and the Canadian, and the Australian. Well, of course, all the countries. They've been lying. They've been lying to protect the industry, to protect the profits, protect themselves from lawsuits, and to kill us off. It's imperative that they kill us off. We're past peak oil. In other words, our consumption is higher than we are finding new reserves of oil. So right now, our oil tank, our global oil tank, is going down. And these kind of studies are very thorough, and we've been past peak oil for a while. We're past peak water. We're using water faster than we can replace it. There are certain parts of the world, like I think of the Southwest and the America, you know, Arizona and all those, California and that. The Colorado River is basically, nothing's coming out at the end. They've tapped the whole thing. They had to divide up the flow from the Colorado River so that each state got a portion, because any one state could have stopped the flow. That's how past peak water they are. Well, it goes on and on. Whatever the field you want to study. So they are really just liars, and it is provable, sanctioned by the World Health Organization without a shadow of a doubt. It is the same people that sit on the ICNAP certificate. I think he means ICNAR, but maybe it's similar. Sit on our Government Health Protection Agency, sit on the World Health Organization. It is the same people. There are probably no more than 20 of them. But yes, they are going to, in my opinion, commit the worst genocide this planet has ever known. Not just people, but animals and plants. By the way, my own opinions about wireless and that, I never read anything like what I just read out to Floydcast here. I never read anything of that myself before I figured out what this was, what the impact was going to be. I just put it all together myself. And here's another guy. It's like he's saying exactly what I'm saying, right? It's going to be the worst genocide this planet has ever known. Quoting him again, they are probably going to cause more destruction than a global war. Absolutely, I totally agree with that. And in several hundred years' time, people will look back, whoever survives, and look at what we tried to do to stop them. Well, it won't be several hundred years. It'll be, I'm going to say 20 years. 10 years from now, all the cancers will hit and people will just mass die off, just like bees at the beehive. And then 10 years of research, and then, oops, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. One last quote from the story. A child's absorption of microwave radiation can be 10 times higher than an adult's. Just read that one more time. A child's absorption of microwave radiation can be 10 times higher than an adult's. Here's your first cell phone. September 23rd story, Barry Trower again, Wi-Fi report, humanity at the brink. I'm just going to include, I read that one, but I'm just going to include that link and you can look at it yourself. February 1st story, Wi-Fi, the invisible killing fields. So true. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adjusts or adapts to its presence and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives until the pressure becomes too great and they crack. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Healthcare insurance companies and even Lloyd's of London will not insure against Wi-Fi exposures. And yet, they insure everything. That should tell us all something very important to know and understand. All right, next story. June 7th, 2012. Dr. Lee Salford, electromagnetic fields and leakage of the blood-brain barrier. This guy estimates, just working it out here, he estimates there's 100 billion times more microwave radiation now than there was 100 years ago. And that's the low estimate. The high estimate is that there are a million times more. Or a billion. That means a billion times more energy than there was 100 years ago. Just imagine, let's say there was, you know, one car, or, you know, when they, before cars, and they would, with crude oil, they would usually only harvest the oil that was coming to the surface. It was like more of a problem than anything. And, you know, you'd put it on a torch, or I don't know how they used it. It was pretty messy stuff. Maybe you used it to seal things because of that tar. Nothing can live in that tar. Well, anyway, how much was leaking into the environment at that stage versus today with billions of cars? That's kind of like where we're at with the wireless. It's like pre-cars, after-cars with microwaves. I make a particular point here that on this video, the Salford video, at the 9-minute mark, lower levels of microwaves open up the blood-brain barrier better than higher levels. Now that was a real freaky thing. I should probably research and try and get that confirmed. It's counterintuitive, you know, I've been saying, and others have been saying, that when you get the microwave radiation at the 25,000 microwatts per meter squared level, typically your home router, your wireless router, your Comcast router, they're at that 25,000 level. That's the level, one study found, where the blood-brain barrier, it can penetrate that barrier. Well, this guy, anyway, is saying that at much lower levels, it penetrates it even better. Kind of horrific. All right, there's a 2009 story. Dr. Magda Havas, H-A-V-A-S. This person really knew the subject. The video is 90 minutes long. The truth about wired and wireless technology, the 20-minute mark, she talks about children. I'm just going through my notes here. 21 minutes, those with mercury fillings are at more risk. This was profound for me. Your body's a battery. In your mouth, it's a battery. When you have metal in your mouth, you tap that battery effect. Your body has electrolytes. So it's like the battery without the electrodes. When you have mercury fillings, those are the electrodes. And so you set up a battery and you dissolve mercury. Well, it turns out that there's a nasty, bad synchronicity between microwaves and mercury fillings. They did a test on heart rate, the effect of microwaves on heart rates. And this was a really interesting test, and she shows really good graphs in the video. You know, with people that aren't electrosensitive, they didn't show any difference whether the microwaves are there or not. They showed them, you know, like was a block of time where there was no microwaves, and then there's a block of time where they're on, and you look at their graph and you can't see anything. And then you look at someone who's electrosensitive, and their heart rate changes wildly, like doubling and tripling the number of beats. This is why kids are dying in the schools from Wi-Fi. This isn't something that's made up. And of course, the sickest thing of all, those 20 people in that previous story, the ones that are controlling the health of all of us, they know this. They absolutely know this. This is all deliberate. Just think of the bad karma for the people doing this deliberately. And now, at the 30-minute mark of the Dr. Magda Havas video, Israel is banning Wi-Fi devices that radiate energy when they are inactive. Now, this was really smart. First time I heard it for any device, any mention of this anywhere. This is one of the maddening things. Like your cordless phone, the base for your cordless phone system at home. The old ones would radiate energy all the time. Maximum level, like a cell phone call, radiation all the time. The Panasonic set that we got, as it happened, the newest one, which we used for a while before I took it out. We've gone through a lot of phone systems there. Anyway, there is a Panasonic system that is designed to be echo. You know, that's the phrase these days, echo. Echo-friendly. And when it's not on a call, it doesn't broadcast to the same levels, especially the individual sets throughout the house. The base, I think, still broadcasts steadily. And then if you were closer to the base when you were talking, the intensity level went down. You know, the radiation level went down. It's the first time I've seen any device being aware of that and changing its energy. Oh, cell phones, of course, do that as well. Changing their energy output when they are closer to the cell tower. At 38 minutes of the Magda video, how the energy varies due to the beam shapes. Talked about that a bit. This was a really good phrase she came up with. At the 49-minute mark, she says that electromagnetic hypersensitivity, which is abbreviated as EHS, so this is a sensitivity that they found about 3% of the population is sensitive in this way. And they say that for these people, the microwave radiation, when it, you know, the death ray, when it's on, she calls it rapid aging syndrome. And I'm here to say that having lived under the cell phone tower's influence for a number of years, that is exactly what it is. Rapid aging syndrome. So you're putting that baby monitor by the crib? Rapid aging syndrome. Do you want to be aging your baby? No. You're not maturing your baby, you're aging it. Just stop and think about this, people. Man, oh man, oh man, man. And another man. Alright, how far are we going to get here? September story, smart necklace that's like a locket for the 21st century. How thoughtful. The locket tethers to your phone, so it communicates back and forth with your phone by wireless radiation. You'll find a tiny circular screen for photos. Who wants to look at a photo on a tiny screen? Who in their right mind? When I look at photos, I want to look at them on the biggest possible screen. My 24-inch monitor is barely big enough for what I want with photos, and here is a locket. Photos that you pull from Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, you do all that with wireless radiation. Unbelievable. When a new photo arrives, the screen glows and light seeps out of the locket. You know, they know that the more clever they are with these devices, the more we will use them. It is clever that light seeps out of a closed device. That is clever. That's radiation, though. Another source of radiation. Another story, track your sleep and activity on the cheap with Misfits Flash. So Misfit is sort of a play on Fitbit, right? It's priced at only $50, and it's cheaper even than the, quote, erstwhile cheapy Fitbit Zip. Like the latter, the Flash tracks steps, distance, and calories. And unlike the Zip, it also tracks sleep as well as swimming and cycling activities, etc. Logitech aims to control the smart home. Well, this is yet another company getting into the smart home market. There's Nest, Honeywell, Philips, probably almost a dozen now. Next story, Verizon investing $13.8 million in new solar projects. Building upon the successful launch of its on-site green energy program in 2013, Verizon this year is investing more than $13 million to expand the program at three company locations across New Jersey. This year, Verizon will install 3.5 megawatts of new solar power systems. Well, you know, this is so creepy and annoying. On the one end, Verizon, one of the huge wireless companies, is going out of their way to dose us, I mean provide coverage to us. And then, thank goodness, they're doing all this solar projects. Aren't they ever so thoughtful? Next story, scientists twist radio beams to send data at 32 gigabits per second. Bottom line, it's a way to send more data than ever using wireless radiation. 30 times faster than 4G LTE. So the fastest today is LTE or 4G LTE. But this would be 30 times more radiation than that. Tell you, man, it's like every few months things are getting, well, in this case, 30 times worse. Next story, popular Wi-Fi thermostat full of security holes. Well, they're all full of security holes. That's really by design, right? That's called tracking. NSA tracking. Two more stories to go through. September 26, BT and Coke to offer free rural Wi-Fi in South Africa through, are you ready? Vending machines. Oh, dear. So your vending machine will be a cell phone tower. Next story. Study. Multimedia multitasking may be shrinking human brains. The quotes for the story were more interesting than the story I thought. Here's some slashed out quotes. Girls between 20 and 24 seem to be seriously addicted to their smartphones. I'm seeing them totally disabled and unable to stop and staying on those phones 24/7 and missing sleep and abandoning work and school and even skipping bathing to spend more time on their smartphones. We might as well open the rehabs now, as a tide of these young women is about to become a huge problem. It is today's version of the video game addicts of a few years ago. Well, notice how he says they're missing sleep. Well, why are they missing sleep? Because microwave radiation makes it impossible to sleep. So think of the vicious cycle. It makes it so you can't sleep. So then what do you do when you can't sleep? People these days reach for their phone. The phone doses you so you can't sleep. So what do? You reach for your phone. The phone makes it so you can't sleep. Next comment. Oh, this is a guy replying to the previous guy. Between ages 20 and 24, I suggest you observe the ages below that. From 14 years old, my daughter has not stopped looking at her cell phone, not even for showering. She uses a Ziploc baggie so she can take the phone in the shower. Another reply. The zombie apocalypse is here. This is not news. For proof, just walk along the average school route during the morning rush. The kids everywhere aren't talking. They've got their faces firmly planted in Candy Crush on their super flexible brand new hot pink iPhones. Technology, and in particular Facebook, has killed the art of communication and social media, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's get to the of the weeks. Okay, this is a story. Maybe we need some humor. So I call this a bad driver of the week, a cool and an uncool story all at once. This is a guy who, I guess he has an Infiniti Q50. And this car can auto drive. And the video on, you know, the YouTube type video shows him filming his car driving down the highway from the back seat. He is in the back seat. There's clearly nobody and nothing in the front seat of his car that's traveling at 50 or 60 miles an hour. It's quite a long video. Somehow he survived that video and long enough to post it. Good on you. I re-listened to the week. I've listened to a number of Joe Rogan podcasts the last week. You know, Joe Rogan has been prolific. In 3 or 4 years, he's come up with 550 of them. I'm pretty selective in what I want to listen to. You know, he has a lot with MMA martial arts fighters, and I'm not too interested. He has a lot with comics. I'm not too interested. The problem I have with comics is they're not necessarily insightful in many cases. A comic is something in my mind that you don't want a steady stream of it. It's a good tonic. It's like that aftershave. You slap it on your face and it wakes you up. Because, of course, it's the alcohol in it that's doing that. The poison in there is you're poisoning your face to wake it up. But you don't want to be putting aftershave on your face all day long. And so anyway, I pass on most of the comic guests that Joe has. And I'm looking more for the more interesting, more insightful people. There was a guy who was particularly bad, a former CIA guy, Mike Baker, I think was the name. And this is a recent Joe Rogan podcast. And, oh man, it's worth listening to him just so you get the idea. This is how spin is done in such a way and so convincingly, so smoothly that you don't even notice. This guy is good. I think once you work for the CIA, you always do, right? Because they can find you, right? So you realize, okay, this is a lifelong commitment to lying. Contrasting with that, a good one was Abby Martin, also recently. Abby Martin, she's a reporter, journalist. She works for some Russian website. I forgot the details. She is really good. She really knows what's up. This person doesn't get fooled. Worth listening to. I warn you one thing. She swears like you would not believe. You would not believe it. And Joe, you know, Joe sort of adapts to the people he has on. And, you know, Joe is not afraid of swearing. But, you know, with her, the two of them, they really get going. And I'm just going to hazard a guess that in their three-hour interview conversation, whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if they used the F word 1,000 times, which is pretty ridiculous. You have to just take out of it what you can and move on. I got a lot out of those podcasts, and part of it is, you know, I'm trying to learn and improve this podcast. So that's partly what was motivating me to listen. Reread or read of the week. What is your dangerous idea? This is a book by John Brockman. Interesting, his last name, 775. He has an accent looking for a place to happen last name. Well, no wonder he's worried about dangerous things. You know, how could you call ideas dangerous? Just that in itself. Is there any dangerous idea, really? Only to the status quo. Only to the people that are trying to control us. They are the only people threatened by ideas. Something to think about. There are no dangerous ideas. You know, that saying, there are no bad questions. Well, there are no dangerous ideas. Anyway, this really covered the gamut, this book. I found most of it was, you know, skippable, missable. I don't even think I extracted anything from it, which is generally a bad sign. Over 100 different respected people that he talked to in the book. Problem is, part of it is, you know, each person only talked for a page or two, typically. And the ones I didn't like as much, they talked for more. So, you know, partly maybe they didn't edit things too well. You know, and the nature of the question that he wants these people to ask, what's your most dangerous idea? He wants them, you know, it's sort of like an extremist or a controversial question. What if he had said, instead of your most dangerous idea, what is your most important idea? I think he would have got completely different responses, and it would have been a better book. My watch and then rewatch of the week was a movie called Bad Words. This is the comedian Jason Bateman. He stars in this, and he directed it. Okay, first of all, I'm going to warn you, this, you know, movie has stuff that could be considered in poor taste. If you watch it, you'll see what I mean. But it's very good. And Bateman, the way he plays his character, I just thoroughly enjoyed this. Enough to watch it back to back. This guy's good, man. Jason Bateman is great, the way he delivers. You know, some comedians, they can just deliver the material so well. He's one of them. You know what it is to do it really well? Confidence. A movie that I saw that I strongly encourage avoiding is called Cheap Thrills. You know, one of these black comedies, supposedly. You know, black comedy is, think of those two words married together. Comedy is supposed to make you feel good and laugh, right? Something black is supposed to do the opposite. And so supposedly there can be a black comedy. You know, I'm not convinced about that genre. And this was a really disgusting movie. Some movies, you know, they get progressively more disgusting as you watch them. That's what this movie was like, and that's why I specifically warn. This is a movie that tests your ability to turn off the movie, to stop watching. And you know, speaking of that, nowadays people stream, right? Well, let's say you're streaming Cheap Thrills on Netflix. What they end up finding out is how many people stopped watching the movie and where did they stop? Well, the point is, this is a way for them to gauge where people are at, what people will put up with and what they won't put up with. The amount of information they can gain from a movie like this makes it priceless to them. Really insidious, nasty stuff. A TV series called Utopia that started this fall. And, you know, we were hoping it would be a true reality show. And, you know, it's all hype and no delivery. It talks about, you know, there's no script and there's no rules and everything else. Well, what was so annoying is they chose people who were as different from each other as possible and as confrontational as possible. Talk about nuking a show before it even starts. They just know what people will put up with. And apparently people will put up with Utopia. So I classified that as an uncool thing of the week. Yeah, we tried it. We watched an episode and we were like, okay, I don't think so. You know, it just shows that when they hype something a certain way and build it that way and everyone talks the same game, it can be hard for people to know for sure, hey, this is a scam. I went online, I read through posts and everything, and I read quite a bit before I was, you know, sure it was a scam. It took me a while to filter it out and figure it out. All right, a cool thing of the week. A new hybrid Mercedes guilt trips drivers into using less gas. This was interesting. The driver can change the transmission mode to indicate they want more sporty or more economical driving. If the car's radar senses a vehicle slowing down ahead, it provides a noticeable double impulse in the pedal, hinting that the driver should ease off on the pedal, on the gas pedal. That kicks the car into EV mode, a more efficient mode, and increases the regenerative braking so when the driver hits the pedal on the left, more energy is recouped. Thanks to GPS, the Mercedes-Benz knows when hills are coming up. If it senses a climb followed by a downhill, it will use more battery going up because it knows it's going to be going down and it can recharge the batteries. Now that is some really smart thought put into a car. And notice, no mention of wireless. It's not the sad irony that when it's truly smart, there's no wireless to be found. It's just good design. All right, quote of the week. Oh, this is a Neil Armstrong quote. I forget my context when I ran across this. I am, and ever will be, a White Sox pocket protector, nerdy engineer, born under the second law of thermodynamics, steeped in steam tables, in love with free body diagrams, transformed by Laplace equations, and propelled by compressible flow. Kind of a wonderful quote for that four quality, the nerdy scientist type quality. Well, of course, Neil is 584. Just another little nod to the numbers. So there's my another wireless edition. I gotta be honest, I'm a little more discouraged than normal the last week or so. I'm not sure exactly why. You know, who knows, maybe it's the, you know, in the fall, right? Some people get affected by the weather. I would normally say I never get affected by the weather. Just a little bit off my stride. I think it's just sort of the realization of just how rapidly things are deteriorating. Now, I've heard that phrase before. To me, in the last year or two, the change is super noticeable. It's the NSA coming out of the closet and going, yeah, we monitor everything. It's people lying continuously about security updates, security breaches, and, you know, supposedly credit card breaches and all that. That's just, oh yeah, we gave all our records to the NSA. We gave all our records to the highest bidder. That's all that is. Let's be honest. There's more money in selling out than there is in being ethical. Football stadiums with 1,200 cell phone towers in the stadium. That's horrific. Seeing the advertising of Wi-Fi on TV, the commercials. They now have the coaches and staff of NFL teams on the sidelines have wireless radiation tablets. So they're getting heavily dosed. And the point is, it's advertising it, making it look like it's cool and useful, which of course it isn't. I still saw some of them using paper, like they used to use paper photographs. It's just getting so ubiquitous, so everywhere. Everyone's advertising, promoting it. You're seeing commercials for... There's one where an athlete is going to, you know, run the 60-yard dash inside, and then he's just about to take off, and then, no, he wants to check his cell phone. It's tacky, cheap ad, but it's the truth. We're no longer running, we're checking our cell phones. We're no longer athletes doing something athletic. We are athletes promoting wireless companies. They have analysts on football, on some of the football shows I really like to watch, and they have these analysts promoting wireless products. It's just getting very, very creepy. And I guess maybe part of it, you know, that sort of depresses you is we're not even aware of it yet. When I say we, you know, collectively, right? 99% plus percent of the population is not aware of the threat. This is like smoking back at the time when 4 out of 5 doctors smoked Camels. Oh, man. So it just shows, all of this shows that you've got to do something with your life. You cannot just sit back. If you sit back, you will be steamrolled. They don't care about you at all. I read one story recently, I didn't even make a note in my flightcast about it, but they were saying, one guy figured it out that you take a poor person, and you know the way they sort of get thrown in jail really readily. Well, it turns out, I think this is someone on one of Joe Rogan's casts saying this, that if you throw them in prison, the prison companies make a lot of money from them, like $50,000 a year from that one person, that street person. And, you know, you give them $5,000 worth of food in the prison. It's not much. There's a guy, Sheriff Arpaio, something like that, in Arizona. He prides himself that he only spends $1 a day feeding his inmates. $1 an inmate a day. So for the year, that's $365. He has them sleeping in tents. A tent. So he's spending, let's say, $1,000 a year to keep the inmate alive, maybe a couple $1,000 a year to get a doctor to look at him once a year. And then the rest of it is profit to somebody because, you know, people get paid, and then when you follow the money, you know, someone always gets a percentage on the top type thing. But it's all just profit on putting someone behind bars. That in itself is kind of a horrific realization. No wonder America has 2 million people in prison. 2 million. 1 in 100 people in the U.S. roughly is in prison. So if there are 50 states, imagine half of one of the states is nothing but prisoners. Another podcast person was talking about the health coverage and how the U.S. does not have universal health coverage. I would suggest that you have to actually live in the U.S. to really appreciate the far-reaching impacts of not having health coverage. It changes people in every way, and one thing it does is it makes them dog-eat-dog, selfish, I'm just trying to survive people. Not 100%, but more so than in other countries. Well, good luck changing the world when all you can think about is dog eat dog, I'm just trying to survive. Alright, I'm going to give you one more quote just so I don't finish on too low of a level. Train insane or remain the same. This was heard on American Ninja Warrior. Train insane or remain the same. Well, yeah, you have to train like you mean it. Or you'll remain the same, you'll remain in your current condition. You know, training and exercising, it's really wonderful. And that's one good thing about Joe Rogan. He does train, he's a very serious martial artist, he has numerous black belts. Interesting guy. So, this has been Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, doing a Floydcast number 33 for September 29, 2014. Good luck with your life. Take care.